Now, we have a sacrifice from the flock, and each one brings out something different. Verse 6 and 7, "And if his offering for a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord be of the flock, male or female, he shall offer it without blemish. If he offer a lamb for his offering, then shall he offer it before the Lord." Now, the lamb sets forth in a very peculiar way the character of Christ, and it's, I think, therefore, unusually appropriate as a sacrifice in the peace offering. Now, the bullock or heifer from the herd sets forth the servant side of our Lord's ministry. The bullock was a domesticated animal, a bearer of burdens, plowed the fields, and it represented Christ as a servant. And we find that in the Gospel of Mark, which we just finished not long ago. But I want to add it again. Our Lord was not a bellboy to come when you push the button. He never shined anyone's shoes. He just didn't move when somebody asked him to move. He was God's servant, and he did the will of God. And that's important to see. Now, the Lamb sets forth his complete identification with man in life and death. Have you ever noticed that? At the very beginning of his ministry, John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And then later he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." You have the person and work of Christ. Now, we notice the very first offering, that of Abel, was a lamb. And I think God clothed Adam and Eve with lamb skin. Now, I can't prove that, so don't ask me to, but I believe that in view of the fact Abel brought a lamb. Now, we find that in Isaiah 53. He was the lamb that was offered for the sins of the world. He was our substitute. But he's a lamb in resurrection. John in Revelation 5:6 says, "I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain." Now, a lamb that's been slain and is alive again is a resurrected lamb. Now, he's a lamb in his return in glory. John again in Revelation 6:16 says, "And they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, who will be able to stand?" The Lamb is probably the most complete representation of Christ of all the sacrifices. Now we have here in verses 8, 9, and 10, really a duplication of the ritual of the burnt offering. But we have this, that the fat is to be offered. And you'll notice that. And I'll not read all of it, but the fat was God's portion because it was considered the better part of the animal. The fat animal was the best type, and the best was offered to God. Prime meat was fat. You remember in Nehemiah 8:10, it says, "Eat the fat and drink the sweet." That's God's invitation for the best. And in Isaiah 25:6, he speaks of a feast of fat things. Now, that wasn't a blue plate, but that was a quality meal for gourmets. God's invitation was repeated. "Let your soul delight in fatness." Isaiah 55:2. And then listen to Psalm 36:8. "They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house." And then Luke 15:23. "And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry." Now today, some of us that diet, we try to get rid of the fat, you see. But you'll notice that here God says all the fat is the Lord's. God demanded the best. We see here, I think, a deep and full meaning of the peace offering. Fellowship with God rests upon the blood of Christ, but there's another aspect of his fellowship. And to make it complete and final, there must be the presentation of the life of the believer in total dedication. Now, these two aspects our Lord gave when he gave that all-inclusive invitation. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." That's redemption. "Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest, peace in your souls." For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. There's the rest he gives. This is found in the blood. There is a rest we find. That's found in the fat, my beloved. When you and I come to him and offer ourselves to him. And then it uses an expression here that may cause some of you to wonder. It says, and the whole rump. Well, the American Standard Version in 19:1 translates it, the fat tail entire, which simply means it was a peculiar breed of sheep of that day that had a fat tail. They are being raised in this country today, and that's what they're talking about here. Now we're told that the priest shall burn it upon the altar. It's the food of the offering made by fire unto God. Now this is a strange clause, and some have tried to associate it with pagan offerings. But the thing is made clear to us that actually what you have here is something altogether different. That instead of the offerer bringing a feast to give to God, it's God inviting man to have a feast with him. I can't go into detail today in that at all.